I read from Matthew chapter 2, boys and girls. I'm trying to see where you are because you've scattered into different places in the church. So there's some up there and there's some with your parents. But like I did, even in the year which has passed before I came here officially from the call and I spoke to you, I hope that the message today will be a message not just for the young people, boys and girls and the older children, but for every one of us who is here this morning. The very important thing I'm going to do is take my watch off because that keeps me on track. Although I do that every week and I still end up going too long. So I'm not sure what that means. But what I have here is a sack in my hands. It's not a very heavy sack, but I have some things inside of this bag. Now, what I want to say is that I'm indebted to my dear wife because at the very last minute I said, do you have a bag to throw some things into? And she pulled this out of the closet. I don't know where these things are kept, but she has something for every occasion, and she even ironed it just to make sure that it wasn't as wrinkled as it appears right before your eyes. So I have to make sure that I say thank you to her. I think this is my present for Christmas. This is all I'm getting, which is fine. So I'm going to undo this sack, and I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments, boys and girls, not just about what's inside the sack, but about the Christmas tree. That's not my story, but it's introducing what we're going to look at very shortly. I think most of us by now, unless some of you just don't like trees for one reason or another, most of us have put the Christmas tree up in our house. I think over the years, it's got earlier and earlier. It used to be December, now it's November. People are doing it in July. They can't wait. They just have to get their tree up for everyone to see. We have a couple of trees scattered around the house. And you know, I have a memory, boys and girls. Before I go into this sack and talk to you about what's inside this, I have a memory of when I was your age, or maybe around your age. And I've got three other siblings. I'm the youngest, so if you're the youngest in your house, I feel sorry for you. All the pain that you have is the pain I had as well as the youngest child. And one Christmas, we were coming down our stairs in our house. And I think they loved to bully me. I must have been a soft touch as a child. And my eldest sister was there. She was at the front leading the way. And then my brother and my other sister and I were sort of like just crawling behind, half falling down the stairs at 3 a.m. And we were going down the stairs. And my sister Claire, I don't even know how old she was at the time, probably about 10 or 11 or something. And she was peering around. And by the way, boys and girls, our parents had no idea what we were doing. Okay, so we were just doing this really against our own wishes. It was 3 a.m. or something like that. We were creeping down and we wanted to see what was under the tree. I didn't really care about what was on the tree, and that's my story for today. What was under the tree? And my sister, the oldest one, she said, you know that biggest present? That really big one there? I'm the oldest, so that's for me. That was her logic. And then she said to my brother, who was the second in line, and that next one there, that's for you because you're the second eldest or biggest in the family. And then my sister, my youngest sister, or the eldest sister, who's the third youngest, she claimed the other one. And then this little small thing, they turned around and said, Patrick, because you're the small one, that tiny thing, that's for you. I don't know how I received it. It could have been the best one, for all I know, but this was a sort of a myth that I was told. But anyway, we were thinking about the tree. The Christmas tree. Boys and girls, I don't often allow you to shout out in church. Maybe I shouldn't even this morning. It could be a bad decision I make. But on top of a Christmas tree, would you expect to see this when you're putting things on a Christmas tree? Would you see that? So yes or no, you can say boys and girls, I'll allow you to do it. Yes or no, would you put that on top of a Christmas tree? No? Hands in the air, boys and girls, if it's a no. Come on, don't be afraid. Well, Stephen, well done. You've got the answer correct there. But Stephen, if you want to put this on your tree, it's £10. And especially for you. So a little soft toy, that wouldn't go on a Christmas tree, would it? Because you put it on the tree and just fall off. Useless. Nice to cuddle. Nice to throw to one side. Nice to be under a chair if it's in our house. But you don't put this on the tree. So we could throw this to one side. We don't want to have that. Right, so what else can we put on a Christmas tree? What about a book? And this book calls Phoebe's Christmas Wish. I wonder who this belongs to in my house. Would you put a book on a Christmas tree? Boys and girls, yes or no? Down here? No? Hands in the air if it's a no. Hands in the air if it's a yes, boys and girls. Would you put a book on a tree? Okay, good. Okay, because you put a book on a tree, it's going to fall off. It's going to slide. So we can put that to one side, but I'll make sure Phoebe gets it back. Right, okay. Well, these are strange, aren't they? These were thrown in the last minute. I don't think I'm even going to mention these. They could just go to one side. That's not going on the tree, and that's not going on my face either. It's just staying there. Right, okay, we've got a hat. I was looking for a Santa hat, but we found this sort of green, weird-looking thing. Okay, but you know what? It looks like it could go on a tree. But boys and girls, big no or big yes, would you put that on the tree? No or yes? No, okay, I think it's no. There's a bit of confusion. Some adults are going, yes. Yeah, that could work. We could put that. No, we're not going to put this on a tree. Don't put hats on a tree. So what would you put on the top of a tree? Don't say an angel. What would you put on the top of a tree? Okay. Right, boys and girls, say it loudly. Star. Who said star? I heard star. Was it you? Yeah? Okay, very good. Right, we are going to put a star on the tree. Isn't that a lovely star? Yeah? It's beautiful. But listen, it looks lovely, but try putting that on a star when it wobbles on a tree. It keeps falling off. It's the most annoying star you can find, but it's the best star I can find for the story. We put stars, don't we, on top of a tree. So let me do something that I have not rehearsed. Okay, so if it falls, I apologize. Let me see if I can stand that there. Please stand. Okay, there you go. It works. It stands. I can finish. I can go home, but I can't because I've got the message to do. We put stars on a tree. And boys and girls, we put stars on a tree because it reminds us of one of the greatest and most wonderful details of the Christmas story. And that's the star which led the wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to think about that star just for a few moments as we come to a close. And boys and girls, and really everyone who is here this morning, this afternoon, as we think about our Christmas story, the star that we think about here, which I'm going to have to pick up again and put down, but, well, I'll just do this in the course of the story. This is the star that makes us wonder. It makes us wonder. I think of all the things that we can see in this world. And you know, boys and girls, even on Earth, there are so many beautiful things to see out there. Whether it's the water and all of the creatures are in the water, or it's the mountains, or it's the trees and the valleys. But then we look to the skies, don't we? And we see our moon, and we have our own star, which is the sun, and we see all of the stars in the night sky. And the star, it makes us wonder in amazement of what God has made. There's a nursery rhyme that I think probably most of us have sung, haven't we, at some time. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And the thought there is not so much, you know, what are you in the sky, but, you know, what an amazing thing that you are. So as I was thinking about this, and we think about the star which led the wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some amazing facts about the stars. So maybe you know these already. I think most of you are very smart kids. And you probably know far more than I do about astronomy and the skies and the planets. But I found that these things, and I think they're amazing. Do you know there are over 9,000 stars which are visible to our eye across the world in which we live? Now, of course, there are many, many more. But the ones which are visible to our eye, our naked eye, that's without the help of telescopes and so on, over 9,000. And we are told that there are over 2,000 that we can see in any given place on Earth on a very dark night. So, for example, we go up to Scrabble Tower and we turn off all the lights and we say, everyone, please turn off your trees and your lights and your homes and the lampposts, and everything goes pitch black. There's probably around 2,000 stars that we can see with our eyes in a very dark night sky. That's amazing, but listen to this. Even more amazing is this. Every star that you see in the night is bigger and brighter than our sun. Now, we think of our sun as a mass of fire and gas, and wow, the sun, how beautiful and bright it is. But that's nothing compared to the other stars. In fact, it's the smallest in many respects. Isn't it amazing? And then think about this. Our sun, which is our star, is just over one of a trillion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And we're told, and I guess it's mostly guesswork. We're told by astronomers and scientists that there are around 100 billion galaxies in the universe. So think about that. You good with maths? Okay, are you going to get a trillion presents this year? No. Okay, that's just a flat no. No one's getting a trillion presents at Christmas. We can't even think about a trillion. Okay, and that's only our galaxy. And there are, 100 billion galaxies? So when we think about one star, that makes us wonder. Here is the amazing thing. It's not so much that we're amazement. We think, wow, how many stars are there in the whole universe in which we live? But rather, this is the story that amazes us. God draws our attention to one occasion, to one earth, to what is called a star. We'll think about very shortly as to what it really was, and to one particular occasion. And you know, boys and girls, when you read your Bible, and you'll find this if you read Genesis, by the way. So you go home and you read the early chapters of Genesis. That when God described the creation of the sun, the Bible records that when he had made the moon and he had made the sun, which is our star that governs us, it then says this. I think most of us have heard this before. He made the stars also. As if it was nothing to him, because it was nothing to God. He made them also. And then we have a lovely verse in the Psalms. In Psalm 147 and verse 4, it says, he telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. That for me is mind-blowing. Every single star that God has made, trillions and trillions, untold numbers, he has a name for every single one of them. I think most of the adults here are a bit like me, that you get to that stage where you can't think of what your children are called or what people are called. And you're going to call them a name, and you call them by your pet dog or pet cat, or the boy gets the girl's name and the girl gets the boy's name. And you just call a name. You don't know what name they're saying anymore. We're just getting confused. God knows every star and every name. And that means God knows every need that we have. This is God that we're talking about here. And so the Bible reminds us of some amazing things when it comes to the star. But here in Matthew chapter 2, we have this story that we all know so well about these wise men. They're called Magi, we might say. We'll think about them very shortly and as to who they were. But these wise men, they were guided to where Jesus Christ was born by the star which appeared in the night sky. Now, the thing to think about here when we think about the star in Matthew 2, it's most likely not what we think to be, like a star. And the reason why is that our stars and the sun, they're fixed. So they don't move. And yet when we read the star in Matthew 2, we read about something that clearly was moving and something that was guiding them. So there's a bit of discussion as to what this could have been, some thoughts. And really the best answer is to say this. It was certainly something of a miracle that God used. We might say it was a natural phenomenon. And what we mean by that is you have things like comets and so on. And yes, God could have just made a star and made it disappear again. God could have done that. But when we read our Bibles, we find that often God uses natural things to do supernatural things. Let me give you an example. Do you remember the story of the Red Sea when it was divided? And Israel went through on dry ground. The Bible says that on that special occasion, God used a mighty, strong west wind to separate the waters. God used something in nature to do something supernatural. And I believe the same thing happened with the wise men. That it was something of a natural phenomenon, but it was used by God. It was designed by God. It was arranged by God. And here is the thing that I want to think about for the first point. It was a star. It was something that made men and people wonder and think, wow, what has happened? And the reason why that is so important is this. That if God does something in the heavens and in the skies, and he draws all of our attention to it, the greatest wonder is this. God had done a miracle on earth. And that's what the star is saying. Even though it was leading and it was guiding, it was directing men and women to a greater miracle. And that's something to think about, boys and girls, and everyone who is here today. That when we think of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about reality. We're talking about something that actually happened. We're talking about an historical event that was a miracle. In other words, God takes something natural, the birth of a child, and he does what is supernatural, because this is the God-man. This is God in flesh, the wonder of all wonders. And then something else about the star. It didn't just make them wonder, it makes us wonder, but it made people worry. It made them worry. You think, that's not a Christmas story. I thought we were going to hear, you know, just everything about happy news here. Well, actually, the star made some people worry. And we're going to think about that just for a few moments. So, hands in the air, boys and girls, you get another chance to take part here. Anyone who wants to be an astronaut when you're older, okay? You've not told your mum and dad that. I understand that, okay? Just keep it to yourself. And then a little bit later on, you say, Mum, I'm going to space. And they can deal with the worry afterwards. But hand in the air, do you want to be an astronaut? I wouldn't mind, okay? I wouldn't mind, but I'm here. Anyone? No, there's no budding astronauts. Oh, Reuben, very good. Okay, so have you told your mum and dad this? No, okay. Ben, you should know something. Reuben wants to go to space. And I'm coming with you, Reuben, so don't worry. It's amazing, isn't it? But at the same time, it's so scary. It's so fearful. Because when you think about the sun and the moon and then these stars, there's a sense in which you go, not for me. I wouldn't want to be floating around space. I wouldn't want to be going further away. I'm just happy where I am in my chair, in my house, in my church. For some of us, it's almost quite a scary thing, isn't it? When you think about the space and the universe around us. When we come to the wise men, and we come to Herod here in Matthew chapter 2, it wasn't so much the star itself that made people worry. I'm going to be careful of this because I'm swinging it right by my eye and getting jabbed halfway through my story here. It wasn't so much the star that made them worry. It was the message. It was what was being said at the same time. And so here come these wise men. And these wise men come. Now, think about these wise men. Many believe that they came from a region. I know for the boys and girls, it may not be something you've heard before. Maybe you have. The region of Babylon in the eastern direction. And you go back to many years beforehand, and you go to a time where Israel or Judah had been taken away as prisoners. And even though many of them went back again and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, the temple, many of them remained behind. And what we call they assimilated, or they became part of the culture and the lifestyle. And many who were Hebrews and Jews, and they stayed there, but they still had in their hearts a hope. There is a Messiah to come. There is a Savior. They were always waiting for a Redeemer, one to save them from their sins. And so that would explain why, that when they were there in the east and they see the star appear there in the sky, that they were already waiting, they were expecting, they were hoping. And then there comes the star and they go, this is the sign. In many ways, they were like astrologers. They were looking for the signs and reading the signs and trying to interpret these things. And they understood from what they knew, even in the Bible, all of those years ago, God was going to do something, boys and girls, most wonderful. He's going to send a Savior. And you know, when you read your Bible, you'll read that in many ways. Let me give you an example. Numbers 24, verse 17. A star shall come out of Jacob. That's a great promise. Isaiah 60, verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There was always a hope of a Savior, and there was this association with light, and with a star, and with hope. And so when the star appeared, they realized the King is born. Now you think that would be the best news possible, and the idea of salvation and one to save, surely everyone wants to hear this news. And so along come the wise men, boys and girls, and they make their way, and they go to Herod, and they go to Jerusalem, and they say, we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And the Bible says, not everyone was happy. Herod was afraid, and all of Jerusalem trembled with him. And we're going to think about that a bit more on Wednesday. That's my advert, by the way, for the Bible study. So make sure you come and think a bit more about that in our Bible study. But as we go back to the boys and the girls, not everyone was happy. Herod wasn't happy because he was a greedy, selfish, and a very sinful king. And he wanted all the power, and he didn't want God. And many were like that. You think everyone wants to be saved, but they don't. And listen, the star is this. The star reminds us of the glory of God. And maybe it's not the most popular message at Christmas, but it's actually one of the most important messages. That when you think about the star, boys and girls, and I've told you about how many there could be, more than we could ever imagine, and burning bodies in the heavens, so powerful that we can't get anywhere near to close to them. We even have to turn our eyes away from our own sun. And so how holy is God? And how pure is he? And how amazing is the one that we worship? And when you realize that, that's when you realize that we've sinned. We'll never realize that we're sinners before God if you compare yourself to me or to someone next to you, because you're always going to find a problem in them. I'm not so bad because so-and-so is worse than me. But that's not what we do. We compare ourselves to God and to his word, and we realize I've sinned against him and I need to be saved. The star caused trouble. It made some worry. But then lastly, as I finish, the star led them to worship. You've all heard about shooting stars. Boys and girls, again, hands in the air, don't be afraid. Have you ever seen a shooting star? Boys and girls, any of you seen a shooting star? Put your hand. I haven't, by the way. Okay, Janice has, let you go. Stephen has. Okay, we've seen some shooting stars. Great, this is wonderful. I haven't, so when you see one next time, can you tell me? And I'll make sure I look up and see it at the same time. But as I was reading about shooting stars, I realized that actually they're not stars, are they? They're pieces of rock that come through our atmosphere from space, and they move at such a speed. Maybe like some of the children today, when you're running after Stephen. Lightning speed to get your gift and your present, and there's a flash and a blaze in your trail as you're going out that back door. Don't run that fast, by the way. walk with care, I would say. But these pieces of rock, and they fly into our atmosphere. Most of them all burn up, but they have this blaze, this fiery blaze, and that's why we see it like a shooting star. And the ones that actually reach the surface of the earth, we call them meteorites. Well, in many respects, this star was a moving star. It led them. It wasn't shooting in that sense, but it was one that was guiding them, and it was one that was directing them. And that's what we find at the end of our story here. And the most incredible fact is this: the star of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's called his star. It's his star, not mine, not yours, it's his. He owns it. He made it. It led these men to Christ, to where he was born. And you know, you would wonder, don't you? Sometimes people today, they worship the sun and they worship stars. And even many people today who are very good in studying all the things around us will actually end up maybe not willingly doing it, but they don't want to acknowledge God and they worship everything else. We shouldn't be doing that. The wise men don't bow down before the star, do they? Boys and girls, they don't do that. And when they come to where the Lord Jesus Christ was, they don't bow down before Mary and Joseph. They don't worship them. And they don't worship anyone else. The Bible says here in our chapter, in Matthew chapter 2, and I'll read it for you here in verse 8, or rather in verse 11. It says, "And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him." Boys and girls, they worshipped him. We are only to worship God. Here is something we maybe the boys and girls don't think about as much, or anyone here today. We are only to worship God. God gives us a very clear command. We should worship no one else. And yet, these men worshipped him, and no one corrects them. No one says, "What are you doing? Get up." Because they should be worshipping him. Why? Because this is God and man. This is the wonder of all wonders. And so this is where in our story, the star in the bright sky, it now goes away. We don't want to think about the star anymore because we're finishing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, I finish with one verse with which I leave you with. When the wise men came to where, really the young child was, by the way, we're dealing with Christ as a younger child now. And they come to where he was and where Mary and Joseph were. And they come to give their gifts. They come to worship a Savior, a Redeemer, one who is the bright and the morning star, the one who is the light of this world. And the great truth for everyone here today as I finish is this, that of all the stars that shine in our night sky, there is one truth that outshines every single one of them. And it's this message that we read from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And you might sit here and you say, preacher, I don't understand what that means. I understand about a star, and I understand about wise men, and I even get why Herod was a bit worried as a king, and sure, I can see why they give gifts, but I don't understand that message. And that's the sad thing about many lives at Christmas. They don't understand the message. And yet you need to. And here it is as we all listen. God says, do you want to know what the grace of God is? Do you want to know what the free, unconditional love and God of Christ in Christ is all about? It's this. Listen to the story. Jesus Christ, though he were rich, that just simply means this. He is God. He's creator. He's the almighty one. He's the one that has all power. He's made all things. And yet for our sakes, for you and for me, for sinners just like you and just like me, he became poor. That doesn't mean he stopped being God. It means this. He takes our humanity. He takes our human form. And he takes a poverty to himself. And you say, but why? It doesn't make sense. It does. Because we need it. That we, through that, through his poverty, might be rich. Not silver and gold, boys and girls, not big houses and fancy cars, not wealth in your bank, and not prosperity in your life, but the riches of Christ is this, that you might be his. Pardoned, forgiven, saved, made right with God, all because of he who is the bright and the morning star. That's the story. That's the message. And I trust, boys and girls, when you see the star on your tree this year, that you'll think of Christ, the Savior of the world.